You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
Hello, everybody. Children, please find your parents and your seats. We're going to get started. Well, happy Halloween. I normally say good morning, but this is odd for us. So we didn't actually have our service this morning because we figured, unlike all of you that did double duty, we would just slide it back and have this be a dual kind of commissioning service slash weekly worship service. So for all of you who are visitors, welcome to Bethany. We are glad to have you here with us celebrating and praying for us as we kind of launch into this new mission together. So I'm going to start with a few announcements. Obviously, today is Halloween, which is why I think so many people came with outfits on. So we might do a little competition afterwards and vote for the top outfit. But in addition to Halloween, as some of you may know, today is also the day that we celebrate the Protestant Reformation. So if you're not aware, most Baptists, all Baptists, and many other people in this room are Protestants. There might be a few of you Roman Catholics visitors, which is great. You're welcome here. But today we celebrate the day that Martin Luther did kind of his, he didn't do anything that spectacular on the day, but it sort of started a major controversy, and so we kind of look back at this as the beginning of our movement in history. And in addition to that, we also, we like the Reformation because it caused us to move often back to the Bible and to look at it and to study it. And it put really the Bible back in the hands of people to be able to study it and have a direct encounter with God through his word. And if you are interested, we have Bible studies for men and for women and for mixed people and also prayer times. And those are all detailed in the bulletin. So if you got one of those and you're not aware of them, please have a look if you're interested. You can talk to me or contact any of the means of contact in the bulletin. And as you're also aware, we have a Wednesday night Awanas program. So we have Awana for at least three different age groups. If I know a lot of you guys are visitors, but we have a lot of visitors. Our church doesn't have that many kids, but we have quite a few kids in Awana from other kids in the area. So you're welcome to invite people. We want that to be a ministry to reach out to this community and to the city as a whole. So there are a lot of very faithful people at Bethany and from other churches who help serve in that. So if you know of children who want to learn about Jesus, please point them our way. It's an opportunity for us to reach the next generation in Chicago. And one other special announcement that we have is that on the 13th of November, we have a blood drive that will be taking place downstairs at Bethany. So if you or anyone you know might be interested in giving blood, please let us know. There's a sign up for that. And then also on that day for members and any non-members, if you want to show up too, we are having a service day to clean the church, to do some sort of final service before the winter on the grounds. And then also we're going to use that opportunity to do outreach in the neighborhood, whether that's handing out flyers, praying for people, and helping to make our presence known in the neighborhood. So that will be November 13th. Please contact me or others if you are interested in being a part of that day at all. And we don't normally mention this, but I should start mentioning it more often. As believers, our resources are God's, and as an act of worship, we always have an offering box in the back. Many people know that, and we're thankful for their generosity, but if you are interested in giving, if you're a regular attender or consider this your church home, please do. The rest of you, you can if you want, but this isn't like a shameless plug for that. And then the other thing is just to call attention. In case any of you showed up here today who are maybe normal members and have no idea what's going on or why there are so many people here, it's because today is our combination service and our commissioning, and we are very grateful to have two brothers in Christ come and speak to us. One will awkwardly be speaking directly to me as the only audience, but I think you're all welcome to listen in. And then the other one will be speaking to the congregation here as a whole. So that will be Jeremy and Will, and I look very forward to having them speak as guest speakers here. And as I think about this day and the service and what we're doing, it's partially to commission me as a pastor, just for everyone coming to show support and prayer for this new venture that our church is pursuing. But it's also, I think, an opportunity for all of us, especially for the church, the members here at Bethany, to be mindful of why we're here and what we exist for, and to view this as a kind of a fresh commissioning or being sent on mission together here in Chicago. So with that said, I'm going to start with our call to worship, and I will be reading from Psalm chapter 96, in which the psalmist is calling for his audience to glorify God and declaring the Lord's sovereignty and his glory in all the earth. So please listen with me for our call to worship. That's Psalm 96. It says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established and it shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the fields exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness."
Amen. You may be seated. My name is David, for you those who don't know me. I'm going to ask you to pray with me as we continue our service this morning, or this afternoon. Dear gracious and holy Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity you gave us to worship you and honor you, Lord. We thank you for this glorious Lord's Day you provided. Lord, we just ask that you would pour out your blessings upon each one here today, and we ask that you would be the ones who are sick and unable to join us. May be with them, Lord, and help them and heal them and bring them back to us soon. Lord, as we lift up your name in praise and worship, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for so many things. We thank you for answered prayer. Here at Bethany, we've prayed long and hard that you would bring a new pastor our way. And Lord, today is that day. It's come true. Lord, we keep your promises. Lord, we also thank you for Pastor Brock and his family who have answered the call to come and agree to be pastor in Bethany for the future. Lord, just ask that you would be with him and be with his family, provide them strength, wisdom, and courage, Lord, and to know your will as we ask that for all of ourselves. Lord, we also thank you for faithful men, the men who are come today, who are present and former church leaders who have agreed to come and take time out of their schedule to help in the installation of our new pastor, Pastor Brock. Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you that you would ask that you bless them, bless their families, bless the churches that they serve in. And Lord, just ask that you be with us the remainder of the service. Father, we adore you. Father, we love you. And Father, we bow down before you and worship you in honor and praise. Great is your name in all the earth. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now I'd have to ask Jerry Meeks, Reverend Jerry Meeks, to come and give us charge to the congregation.
Good afternoon. I am thankful to have received the opportunity and honored to be here to give the charge to the congregation of Bethany Baptist. I know it's been a challenging time without a pastor, and it's been a joy to be of some help to you all. This pulpit's awesome, by the way. It's been fun to be with you through the last year and a half and to have provided encouragement. And it's no less a joy to be here and give you encouragement today as the congregation. Now, this isn't the first time that a pastoral installation has taken place, and Lord willing, this will not be the last time a pastoral installation ever takes place. This is a rather important, but also extremely ordinary day in the life of any church. And as we come together, my task is to remind you of how you are to be the church in the world. Now, some of you don't go to church here. And so what you have to know is I'm not talking to you. I'm glad you're here. It is similar, I think, to a baptism in the fact that you all are observing something for somebody else to be reminded of your own responsibilities in the world, because what I am charging this church to do is what I believe God's word charges every church to do. I hope, therefore, to say nothing new to you this morning or this afternoon, but to say old things well. Our text is Hebrews chapter 13. I'll be reading from verse 1 to verse 17. Hear the word of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13, 1 to 17. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat, but for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sins are burnt outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. I want to title my brief exhortation to you as a congregation, Basic Traveling Instructions. Basic Traveling Instructions. To understand this long and, let's just admit it, semi-rambling close to the book of Hebrews, one has to understand all of the book of Hebrews. You might think, oh no, how long is this guy going to go? I believe, in essence, you could sum up the first 12 chapters of the book of Hebrews in this way. Jesus is great. In fact, Jesus is greater than anything else in the whole world, so stick with Jesus, enduring together well to the end. That's it. Toward what end, you ask? Toward what end is the church enduring? Well, the writer just got done saying that in chapter 12, verse 28. It is a kingdom that cannot be shaken, secured by Jesus, ruled by the Father. The place that all of us have been desiring to go our whole lives, no matter if we know it or not. Friends, I have some good news. This church is temporary, and God's kingdom is forever. What does enduring together well towards this unshakable kingdom look like? Well, I think it looks a lot like this passage before us. Before us are some basic traveling instructions as the church endures together well to the end. I want to look at this list in two parts, an overview of the list and then a specific word for our specific occasion. Let's begin by just having an overview of the list. I don't know if you caught it when it was read, but this list is shocking, if for no other reason, that it is so incredibly ordinary. Let me give it to you one more time. What is it that you and I are supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to love one another. That's verse 1. We're supposed to show hospitality. That's verse 2. We're supposed to be faithful in our marriages. That's verse 4. Avoid greed. That's verse 5. Don't follow heresies. You can find that in verse 9. Suffer well, verse 13. And share, verse 16. That is the incredible call upon the church as they endure to the end. You might think I tell my 6-year-old things like that. I was told as a 6-year-old things like that. So ordinary. And yet so admirable. This is something that any church can and must pull off. Which means that you as a congregation can and must pull these things off. Why? Well, because this is how you bear witness to the truthfulness of your confession. What is the confession of the church? Well, we can find it in verse 12, for example. Here's a good summary of what you as a church ought to confess. Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. In other words, Jesus died to save a people who followed these basic instructions. To put the cookies on the bottom shelf, your life together demonstrates that Jesus died for something. And that Jesus' death did something in the world. Living in this way is not always easy. This is the kind of list that just looks really good on a piece of paper, maybe on a cute poster that you put up in your bathroom. But once you actually have to start living this out, then it becomes incredibly difficult. But this, friends, is what we were saved for. This is how the local church lives as we head towards the unshakable kingdom. And you might be thinking, well, this is very interesting, Jeremy. I am inspired. I might even be challenged by the things that you have summarized from the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Now, the question I have is, what exactly in the world does anything that you just talked about have to do anything with the installation of a pastor? Good question. You see, these basic traveling instructions, I summarized most of them, but I left off one of them. Having seen an overview of the list, I want to spend the rest of my time on this particular instruction for our occasion found in verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let me begin by noting the awkward 5,000-pound elephant in the room. Obedience is a complicated notion in today's world. Just in general, we kind of don't like authority very much. I understand it. I'm actually a charter member of the Don't Like Authority Club. Ask anybody who knows me. I have children. They are firmly ensconced in the club as well. I get it. We have a problem with authority. But what adds to that general problem is lamentably the fact that in the church, authority has often been abused. This has happened throughout church history and is true in the present as well. Too many pastors abuse their positions. So given this problem in our culture in general, and given the fact that this problem exists in the church, I want to ask and answer two questions as I close. Number one, is this command actually legitimate? And number two, if it is, then how can you as a congregation live without fear and suspicion? of your new pastor. First, is this command legitimate? I think you know the answer to this one already. Let me just say that it is right there in the list with sharing and showing hospitality. Now, you didn't have a problem when I talked about that one. Nobody has a problem with that. As long as we get to, like, choose who comes over, right? Then we have no problem with sharing and hospitality. But the reason why I wanted to give an overview of this entire passage is I am firmly convinced that showing obedience to leaders is just part and parcel of what it looks like. It's part of the basic instructions that the church does as they journey towards the unshakable kingdom. It's not anything special. It's rather ordinary. Now, the church doesn't follow everything the pastor says. Let me be clear. But the church follows everything. You, in turn, should obey him. For the same reason, because Jesus is coming back to give him a reward for how well he shepherds. See, everybody's got skin in the game. He should not be scared of you, and you shouldn't be scared of him. Jesus is coming back. So your obedience to him and his shepherding of you all demonstrates what you actually all believe about Jesus. Speaking of Jesus, that's the main motivation. That's the main way that you can follow this command, which is daunting, but is some way you can do it without fear, without suspicion, is by remembering Jesus. Jesus is the one who secures the kingdom towards which we are enduring, friends. Verse 14. Here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice, praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips and the acknowledging of his name. Friends, Jesus secures the kingdom. He's already done it. You and I are traveling towards a fixed reality. I cannot promise you, in fact, I would be lying to you to say that I promise you that Brock is going to be a great pastor. I actually don't even know if he's going to be a very good one. I think he is. What should give you confidence is the fact that there are people in this room, both pastors and fellow church members who have known Brock for a long time, who are here, who are saying, we think he's actually going to do a good job. Believe me, I would not stand here if I didn't think he was. But I can't be sure. But here's the thing. This local church is temporary. And God's kingdom is forever. Thus, you can take heart. And in light of that, follow the second part of verse 17. Let Brock do his job with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Friends, I get it. This is a terrifying moment for some of you. I have to imagine. Just to be clear, it's probably terrifying for Brock too. He has to pastor you people. So pray for him and pray for each other. In the same way that you all are human, so is he. Pray that he would be a person who is the kind of person that is mentioned in verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Imitate their faith. Pray that Brock would be that kind of person, not just today, but more and more every day. And that therefore you all would be those kinds of people more every day. Friends, we are headed towards a great destination. Thank God that in his grace he has given us some basic traveling instructions along the way. So endure together well towards God's unshakable kingdom. And along the way, obey your pastor. Let's pray. Now we thank you for this congregation, and I pray for each and every member here who is tasked with the responsibility of loving each other and sharing, showing hospitality, and obeying their new pastor. We pray that you would help them do this well, and that this church would be but one more example of your work amongst us in the world. And that many would come to know you and many would grow as a result of participating in a body of believers who follow these basic traveling instructions along the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good afternoon. I'm privileged to be here. If I'm being very honest, I might be partially to blame for this service. I put a bug in the ear, and they went with it. So I do that because not only do I believe in the man, but I believe in this church that has a long history of faithful gospel presence in this neighborhood. So it matters. So thanks to the saints here who showed up at, 10 o'clock, and no one was here and you forgot. Maybe that was nobody. But we're glad to do this. I'm grateful that this church invited me to participate in this service in this way. It's very humbling to me to have a little part in this church's history. I also bring you greetings from the mirror opposite side of the city, Addison Street Community Church, which is just one block east of Hoyne Avenue. No, west, my bad. So we are excited for you. My history with this church goes back to even further back before Pastor Emeritus Vogelin, as I knew the Daltons when they were here before they went to Massachusetts. So it's quite a small world. Well, yes, I have the task of doing that awkward thing, and I love awkwardness. So I might just be talking to the guy right here, and y'all are free to listen in. But I hope it serves you well to hear what I've got to say to Brock. But before we do, just a few housekeeping items, and I do mean housekeeping items. I want to say something to Brock generally, to his kids, to his wife, and then back to Brock. Brock, it goes without saying, brother, you know the scriptures that tell pastors to keep a watch on themselves and on the doctrine, and keep a watch on your family. Just because you've been elected into this position doesn't absolve you from the kind of self-watch that ministers need to be having in their lives. You have just taken a job that comes with a target on your back. And for that, brother, you do need to watch yourself and your family. There, nothing else really in this world is as important as your family. A church can always get a new pastor, but you can't get a new family. So pay attention to yourself and to your family. To my cute little friends, Brooklyn, Gwendolyn, Gideon, Farron, I have something to say to you. So are you going to pay attention? I have to say, this is the best dressed installation service I have been to, partially because you guys are dressed up. I want to say something to you as kids who are the pastor's kids. You know what? You're just normal kids, so just keep being normal. But I want to encourage you, children, to trust God by trusting your parents. You've left your old church, not because there's something wrong with it. Responds, he says, yes, Lord, I love you. And Jesus responds, feed my sheep. This is your charge, that you are to feed Christ's sheep. Not merely because you've been elected to do so, but because you are one. You are first, my dear brother, a sheep of God's flock, not just his under-shepherd. When we cower and hide out of shame for how we treated Jesus, we see here Jesus comes to us. The shepherd seeks out his erring sheep not to punish, but to restore and to renew us. And his command in this section, verse 19, ends with, "Follow me." Reminiscent of that time when Jesus gathered together those 12 the first time to follow him. Brother Brock, Pastor Brockway, we follow Christ best when we understand our identity as forgiven and restored sheep and move forward from that position. Your pastoral ministry among the sheep of Bethany Baptist Church is going to be one from a position of recognizing your own restored and renewed self in Jesus. Yes, it's true what Martin Luther said, if he indeed said it, that you are just one beggar showing other beggars where to find food. The second thing about shepherds here is that in verses 15 to 17, shepherds who love Christ care for Christ's flock. And it seems obvious. He says, well, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. And we all know that shepherds are all over the Bible, from Genesis all the way to the end. They're kings, they're actual shepherds, they're spiritual leaders. They are pastors of churches. And pastor shepherds are first and foremost servant leaders. Shepherd leaders who love Christ's flock. I think it's easy to love preaching. I think it's easy to love orthodoxy. I think it's easy for you and me in this kind of profession to love being right, because we know what's right. But there's a difference between being right and loving those who Christ gives you to tend. They're not always right. You're not always going to be right. In order for you to care for this flock, you've got to be able to see the individual and the whole. That's pretty big. You know what? It's really impossible. I'm telling you, what you've been called to do by this church is actually really impossible. Now, brother, we're not letting you off the hook here. We're not giving you reasons to be a mediocre pastor. Not at all. But you are embarking on a very difficult task. I love the four categories of care that Timothy Whitmer, a Presbyterian pastor, has given in his book called The Shepherd Leader. And I think loving Christ's flock and tending to them means that you must know them. You must lead them. You must feed them. And you must protect them. So before you go changing too many policies and things, and that's completely going to be on your wisdom with the Word of God, you got to get to know the flock here, get to know their names, know their stories, discern true confessions of faith and baptisms. You got to feed them with the Word. You need to be studying God's Word, and not just studying God's Word to prepare a sermon or a small group, but because you love God's Word. Much of your preaching ministry, brother, is going to come from an overflow and an excitement to whether you pay to do this or get paid to do this, that you are excited to study this book. This is the menu from the shepherd for these saints. Preach the Word. Feed them the Word. Lead them. Shepherds aren't passive. They don't drive. They're gentle. But they're not afraid to lead. And you will sometimes need to lead in courageous, bold ways that the sheep don't understand. And sometimes you may not understand. And sometimes in doing the leading part, you will have to ask for forgiveness and remind your flock that you're one of them. You are one among them. And you must protect your flock as a sign of care for Christ's flock. Remember, these dear ones, these beloved, they're not yours. They belong to Christ. He spilled his blood for them. You do not have enough body blood in your body to spill for these just in your church. Jesus loves this church. You must protect them. You must protect them from outward influences. The culture is definitely, in a sense, vomiting on your congregation all throughout the week, and you come with the Word of God to cleanse and wash them. You must guard them and protect them from heresies and all the things that you've been trained to do. Sometimes you, brother, will have to protect them from themselves, because sheep tend to get themselves in trouble. But I hope that your church will find you to be a loyal pastor who loves and is willing to protect his flock. Shepherds who love Christ care for Christ's flock. Third, in verses 18 to 19, shepherds who care for Christ's flock glorify God through sacrifice. That's in verses 18 to 19. Jesus says this cryptic saying, when you were young, you used to dress yourself, and people discuss that and what that means. Aside from how mysterious that means, what is clear is Jesus is at least making clear to Peter that his future is one of death. He's going to stretch out his hands, and we know, we've been told by church history that supposedly Peter was crucified, executed, upside down perhaps. But whether or not he was executed upside down is besides the point. He had to sacrifice. He had to glorify God through sacrifice. And this is what Jesus said was, John is telling us, this is the kind of death he was to glorify God. Get that. Now, we do not hope a death physically by pastoring Bethany Baptist Church. But you will have to die many deaths in pastoring Christ's bride here. To truly care and sacrifice means, brother, caring more about what Jesus says than sometimes what the flock wants. And especially caring more about what Jesus says than the winds of culture may cue them every day or every week. This will be hard sometimes. You might sound and feel like a lonely voice until you get a band of like-minded elders in your congregation to lead with you. It will feel that way. But you are not exempt from caring for the flock in this way. To glorify God through sacrifice means risk. A comfortable lifestyle, reputation, it's a loss of control. Now, we're not saying you need to move out of your house and get a shack, make the appearance of being a lowly shepherd. Yes, shepherds need to smell like their sheep, for sure. But do not use Christ's bride here as a stepping stone to your own comfort, some kind of plug in your resume. And if I know you, Brock, I know that's not what you are about. You should know this, that the other day Brock tossed a phrase at me that I've never heard before. It caught me off guard, but I thought it was good. He says, I have such a low view of the pastorate. It's like, yes! He's saying that because our church, our culture has either tended to marginalize pastors, relegate us either, worse than therapists, or in the past to elevate them to an unhealthy proportion. When my brother said that, I knew exactly what he was saying, because he knows that pastors have important jobs, but they're not necessarily more important than the other jobs that you people have. The guy works a full-time job in addition to being a pastor. He knows what it is to work. He knows what it is to manage people in that vocational setting. But you need to cut the guy's... Oh, wait. Jeremy gave the charge to the congregation. Never mind. I had a feeling that I was going to want to double dip there, but I'll stop myself. Brother, the risk of pastoring Christ's flock means that you will sometimes feel like you have no control. And you know what? You will need to lead this congregation in your example about what it means to walk trusting Christ when life and circumstances of the church feel completely out of your control. But you do that because, according to this text, this is one way that you glorify God in sacrificing. You will suffer. Just like Jesus, who set aside temporarily the fullness of divine privilege and all those powers in a sense, so Christ's servants follow him into suffering. That is the Christ life. We pray that you will know the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. I mean, in a sense, how are they going to know how to suffer without other models in their congregation and their pastor being willing? They're going to watch you, brother. I don't like saying suffer well. It sounds so inane. But Christ wants you to suffer like he suffers. And you know a reward is coming. Finally, in verses 20 to 23, we've talked about shepherds who care, shepherds who sacrifice, but shepherds who sacrifice ultimately are satisfied in the shepherd. So Jesus says this thing, follow me. You're going to die, Peter, follow me. And what does Peter do? They're walking now, and he looks over, he sees John, and he starts to wonder, what about that guy? Immediately in his restoration, Peter started looking at the other pastors in the area. I mean, Peter was that lead apostle, right? Brusque, man's man. He didn't write as much. I mean, John got published more than he did. Peter was martyred. We don't know about John. I mean, did he get boiled? He got exiled? But John is an intimate, humble disciple, the disciple of love, a pastor's pastor. Yes, he got persecuted, and he had a long life. These are two tales, two stories. Amongst this flock, Brother Brock, God is writing your story as a pastor, and it's not about you. We all understand that. But God writes your story, and he determines your path. See, we need to follow Christ without being preoccupied with the details of another disciple's story. The cost of disciple is different for every believer and really for every pastor. There's going to be two temptations, brother, amongst many. According to our text, you're going to be tempted to compare yourself. You're going to be tempted to be envious. Catch it now. You're being told now, be advised, to try to kill envy and comparison. You be faithful to this flock and don't worry about the other guy. You also be tempted to be fearful. See, sometimes, Peter was worried about the future, right? Results, longevity. And we naively presume that is we who could know the future, that if we could know the future, we'd change it. But knowing your future doesn't mean you can change it. One of my heroes is J.C. Ryle, an Anglican of 100 years ago plus. He said that to obtain foreknowledge of things to come would in most cases be a sorrowful possession. To know what is going to befall us and yet not be able to prevent it would make us simply miserable. So, brother, Jesus puts us in our place and asks us to be satisfied in him. Following what he wants for you is more important than what he wants for others. Do not preoccupy yourselves in an unhealthy way with someone else's story. So trust him, Brock. Be satisfied in Jesus, the chief shepherd, with his plan for you, with this church. We get to follow knowing what's around the corner. And following Christ is going where he has gone, which is a path of humility, suffering, death, and eventually resurrection. There's no crown without a cross. Brother Brock, immediately, if you haven't already, pray for contentment in Christ. The saints here are going to let you down. They're going to be hard. Sheep bite. They snap. They respond poorly. Sometimes they have great days, and they'll be your joy. But shepherds love not because of the sheep, but because of the Christ who loves them. Rejoice in others with their progress and God's favor on them. Someone who is increasingly becoming content with who they are as a disciple of Christ will more readily identify and express their true happiness in the gains of others without comparing. What a day it would be. I mean, what a great day it would be, right, Bethany, to see the church full of disciples, baptisms week after week, multiple services being planted. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, you'd have to plant churches after that, right? That would be great. Chances are, it's going to happen to the other guy down the street, the other church. You know what? Rejoice. It's Christ's church. We're all going towards him. My dear brother Brock, Reverend Pastor, love your flock unto Christ and follow Christ faithfully. Follow him. Feed his lambs. At this time, we'd like to, as pastors, call Pastor Brockway up here. If you are an ordained minister, an elder of a church, a pastor, former pastor, Pastor Don Vogelin, the pastor emeritus of Bethany, is going to make his way down here. If you are an elder of a church, please, if you could, come up here. We're going to lay hands on our brother and pastors, David Helm from Christ Church, Pastor Luke Dudenhofer from New Life Church, and Pastor Nathan Carter from Emmanuel Baptist Church are going to lead us in prayers over this brother for his ministry here. So Brother Brock and our fellow pastors, please come forward so we can lay hands on this guy.
What a joy to be here. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to praise your name as we reflect today in this place. We want to praise you for the beauty, the strength, the dignity, the glory of the members of this church. We want to honor you in regard to those who built this church, tended this church, love this neighborhood, live here yet today, and serve in her midst. We ask for this dear family that you would encourage their hearts, strengthen their faith, and give them great hope in all that you have for them. We honor this church today. In doing so, Lord, we ask for prayers for Pastor Brockway. I ask, Lord, that you would enable him to build upon this church, the cornerstone of Christ, the love of the people for their Lord and this city. Make him a church builder. May he be like Nehemiah of old. Especially may he have Nehemiah's heart, whose heart broke over the state of the church in his own day. May all of us rend our garments as we look across the land and give ourselves wholeheartedly to your restoration of the church. Give him Nehemiah's heart. Give him Nehemiah's humility, who was able to pray not merely looking out upon the sins of others, but was able, capable, straightforward in saying that I and my family have sinned. May he have Nehemiah's humility that recognizes his condition, and may he turn to his Savior. But Lord, give him Nehemiah's desire for help. Give him help from on high. Give him facility with your word. Give him simplicity of expression, clarity of mind, soberness in decision making, love for the brethren. Give him help that it would grow and last and flourish. We give him to you today in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, it is our privilege to pause on this day and say, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. We thank You for all that has been spoken today from Your word. We agree, God, Your kingdom that is coming is better, greater. We long for it. And yet, Lord, You have placed us here with great work to do. And we thank You that You have not left us alone as orphans, but You have sent Your Holy Spirit to indwell every believer. And Lord, for this task of pastoring, we thank You that Your Holy Spirit has been equipping and preparing Brother Brock for many, many years. We thank You for all the wisdom from parents, from youth leaders and college discipleship group leaders and pastors and mentors, everyone who has poured in. This is Your kingdom, God, building one day at a time, one life at a time. And we thank You for the obedience of our brother Brock that's brought him to this place. And now, Jesus, as we have been speaking of You, we want to imitate You. We pray that Brock will imitate You, as it says in the beginning of John, full of grace and truth. I pray that as he steps in, Holy Spirit, that You will fill him with grace, that he will walk with Your power, Your might every day, not his own wisdom, but Your grace. Give him tailor-made grace for this assignment here at Bethany Baptist Church, in this community, on this block. Special grace, and we trust that You will do that. Lord, help him to be a gracious pastor in a world that's full of division, a world that wants to polarize people and put them on opposite ends and fight. I pray that he will be a voice of reason. Give him grace to be a peacemaker. But Lord, more than grace, and I pray against the extreme of a grace that causes us not to be distinct or holy, I pray that he will also have grace and truth. Help him to walk in the truth of Your word. Help him to continue to build his life every day in the foundation of what You say, O God, not what culture says, not what the latest blog says, but what Your word says. It is our foundation. It never changes. Your word is truth. Sanctify us with Your truth, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, we thank You for Pastor Brock, and we pray Your blessing of grace and truth in his life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that You would continue to, by Your Spirit, help Brock to know he's Your son in Christ, that that would be his steadying truth, stabilizing, that he wouldn't feel like he needs this church for his identity, success. He would just relish being Yours, and that through that he would minister, and many other people would come to deeper knowledge of that truth. Lord, I pray You give him rest as he's going to be working two jobs and a family with kids. I pray that he would have wisdom to know what You want him to do and what You want him not to do. I pray You would protect him in his marriage. Pray for Christy and him to continue to have intimacy and joy together. Pray for their kids, that You would give them sweet memories of growing up here, that You would protect them from any attacks of the evil one to cause doubt or resentment. Lord, I pray for a happy home. I pray for Brock to trust Your promises, that You will build Your church. We thank You that there have been 29 other men that have stood in this pulpit in the past, and that he's just one in a long chain, as we all are, Lord, that You're the one building Your church. And I pray that he would remember it's Your word that does the work. He wouldn't try and wear himself out by trying to make things happen, but that he would know that, as Christ told us, the kingdom of God is as if a man went out and sowed seed and went home and slept, and it sprouted and grew and bore fruit, and he knows not how. It's Your work. It's Your word. I pray that he would trust the power of Your word to build this church. And Lord, we pray for that. We pray that your word would revive this church, that you would bring in lost people, that you would build up the saints that are here, that you would cause this body to bring you much glory, Lord, through fruit bearing. We don't know exactly what it'll look like, but we're asking this day that it would look like conversions, it would look like church plants and ministers raised up from within here and kids converted here in the Awana program, and it would look like a church that's full and thriving, Lord. We pray for that, not for anything other than your glory.
Yes.
We want you to be worshipped as you deserve in this part of our city. So we're praying, we're asking, and we're trusting. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. You may be seated, and I will invite our new pastor, Brock, who will give the benediction.
Thank you, everyone, for coming and for spending this afternoon, this unique afternoon, with us. I'm going to close now with a benediction, which is really just a blessing, a sending off, if you will. Now that we've been sent off by our brothers and sisters in Christ from other congregations, this is for us, for all of us. At the end of Matthew's gospel, when the disciples are trying to figure out if they really know what's going on and if they really believe what has happened to them, Jesus appears to them at one point on a mountain. And he says to them, and I believe he says this to us as well today, he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Go with Christ today. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany. We invite you to worship together with us on Sundays. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.